Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I am an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line in Los Angeles, is the kaleidoscope dream to my wild heart, Keith Caulfield. How's it going, Keith?
I'm good. Kaleidoscope dream to wild heart. What are those? Is that a Sarah Bareilles reference? No?
Oh, no. So close.
Kaleidoscope heart was Sarah. I don't know. What are you?
That's, no, I don't think that was Sarah Bareilles' kaleidoscope.
There's kaleidoscope
heart.
Something with Sarah Bareilles.
Oh, yeah, I guess. So, Kaleidoscope Dream and Wild Heart are both Miguel albums. Wild Heart just came out.
Oh.
And Kaleidoscope Heart, I think, so like a mashup of those two, is a Sarah Bareilles album. I think you're actually right.
Incredibly sadly embarrassing that I did not know the name of Miguel's new album.
Oh, no worries, man. We will we'll talk about Miguel a little bit later in the show, but I've been listening to a lot of Wild Heart. It's very trippy in a good way. I enjoy Miguel's new album just as I enjoyed his last album, Kaleidoscope Dream, from 2012.
Yeah.
So there you go, man.
Yeah.
Keith.
Yep.
Welcome to another rollicking edition of the Pop Shop Podcast. Today we will be talking about a whole lot. Hot 100. Which includes a big debut from Selena Gomez, as well as a pretty big debut from Janet Jackson. We got some moves from The Weeknd, Omi, Silento. We have Demi Lovato's new single to talk about, some soon-to-be hits, Breaking Benjamin number one on the Billboard 200 chart, and a little Twitter drama that happened earlier this week. Before we get started on this week's episode, if you like the Pop Shop Podcast, please subscribe to our show on iTunes. That way you never, ever, ever, ever miss an episode. Give us a rating or review on iTunes if you care to make our hearts sing with joy and exuberance. Go to iTunes.com/Billboard Podcast to get to our Billboard Podcast homepage. And if you have any questions for Keith or myself, hit us up on Twitter. He is @Keith_Caulfield. I'm @JasonLipschutz. Keith, are you ready to rock and roll?
Yes.
All right. I like that determination. So, Keith, so I got to admit, man, I've been out the past couple days. Took a couple days off. It's summertime. Went down the shore. Had a great time. But, you know, I could not escape the pop world because I kept getting text messages. I kept getting Twitter mentions, whatnot, about this Britney Spears and Iggy Azalea Twitter drama that started on Monday. It spilled over into Tuesday. And for those who haven't been paying attention, Iggy Azalea basically tweeted something about the non-success of their debut or their collaborative single Pretty Girls, saying that it should have been promoted more. Some people thought that she took it to mean that Britney should have promoted it more. Then Britney, quote-unquote, fired back with a little subtle dig, whatnot, about her upcoming shows and being happy that she has shows to perform. Iggy Azalea, of course, canceled her arena tour for the summer. And then on Tuesday, Iggy said that this was all media fabrication and that she and Britney are fine. Keith, what was your reaction to this story?
That's
kind of my reaction, is a lot of oi.
It's just when you thought it was safe to go back onto Iggy Azalea's Twitter feed. You know, I think Iggy probably shouldn't tweet.
That's your takeaway.
Full stop. Like,
I kind of agree with you.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Someone asked Iggy Azalea, as I scroll back through her endless number of tweets, because God love her, she's very interactive with her fans.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. Good grief. Hold on, let me find it, because I want to quote her exactly. Feature. Okay. She says, someone asked her, were you like sort of unhappy with the song not being a success? If Pretty Girls flopped a little bit, asks a fan, still getting a lot of views on YouTube, and it's the summer anthem 2015, so whatever, we love you. Iggy responds, yeah. It's difficult to send a song up the charts without additional promo and TV performance, etc. Unfortunately, I'm just featured, .. ellipses. And then she follows it up with, I would have enjoyed performing it a lot. I think it got off to a powerful start, but you need content to compete in 2015. Now, here's the thing. Okay. I find it interesting that Iggy does not realize that she's actually throwing Britney under the bus with her first tweet. When she says, yeah, it's difficult to send a song up the charts without additional promo and TV performances, etc. Unfortunately, I'm just featured. Well, actually, there's two problems with this tweet. One, you are assigning blame to Britney. Because if you are the one vocalizing, it's difficult to do something if you don't got no promo, and you're owning the song, well, then the other person who's on the track, named Britney Spears, is therefore owning the rest of the promo. So you're basically saying that you were willing to do promo, but the other half of the track isn't. But then she says, unfortunately, I'm just featured. Actually, it's a duet. You both have, you know, full 50-50 ownership.
The power of that ampersand.
The ampersand means everything here. So it's doubly kind of screwed up. And then she went on to have like 50 more tweets later because the quote-unquote media was getting it twisted. And then she says, you know, the media is making women, you know, into a catfight, and they're always picking on women. They're trying to pit them against one another. A lot of that is very true. You know, the
definitely
blogs and websites and Billboard is to blame. Love sort of, you know, having Beyonce versus so-and-so, Nicki versus so-and-so, Madonna versus so-and-so. It unfortunately, that's just the way it is a lot of the time. I think, though, Iggy is kind of missing the point here. She's not recognizing that she actually did kind of throw Britney under the bus.
Yeah, a little bit. I think it was kind of a foot and mouth thing. And
shocking. Iggy with a foot in her mouth? Who would have thought?
And the whole thing is that you wonder what would happen if she had more than 140 characters to express herself. And maybe you're right that maybe that Twitter is just not her strongest medium. Here's the thing, though. And here's the wildest part to me is like, I feel like, and I'm curious as to what you think about this. I feel like the lack of promo is not this song's problem. Like, they had like a big splashy music video. They had the big performance at the Billboard Music Awards. Like, this song was visible. They did interviews. They talked about this song and working together. I don't think that's the problem. What do you think? I mean, why do you think this song hasn't worked?
I think I'm like, I'm not sure if Iggy realizes, or perhaps she does. I don't know. Britney Spears had not done a single television performance to promote anything since 2011 on the Billboard Music Awards when she performed two songs. So her last album, Britney Jean, had no TV, nada. All she did was her Piece of Me show in Vegas. Britney barely gives interviews. She hardly does any interviews. And yet she did, like, I think three, if not more, radio interviews, like international interviews. Like, I think she talked to Seacrest. I think she was even, she did enough stuff in the world of Britney, which is kind of a lot. And I think Iggy should have kind of known what she was getting herself into when she signed up for this collaboration last year, because it doesn't take a brain surgeon to Google a little bit and realize, ooh, Britney doesn't do a whole lot of promo.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about this to me is, like, even if she wasn't, say Iggy is like, we're taking Iggy at face value that she said, like, she has no ill will, she didn't mean anything against Britney, she simply said, like, maybe, you know, for argument's sake, maybe that she was kind of pissed at Iggy's team or something like that.
Britney's team.
Maybe she's like, Britney's team, and is like, well, they should have done a little bit more. But, like, again, it's just strange because I feel like they did a lot. Like, I don't know.
They did
maybe
do a
like
lot.
This,
they
this,
did, they
this
did
song
do a lot.
Just hasn't worked at radio.
The song just didn't work. It just didn't work.
I still kind of like Pretty Girls. Is that wrong?
No, I like Pretty Girls. I don't love it, but I like
it. It's a fun song. And, sometimes this stuff just doesn't work at radio. And you look at the songs in the top 10 right now, and we'll get to them in a second. You look at, like, Omi, you look at Walk the Moon. You don't necessarily need a huge profile to send a song into the top 10 if it's, you know, if radio likes it, if radio latches onto it, and radio is still a huge factor in determining whether or not a song's a hit. And Keith, I know you don't have this in front of you, but I would guess that Pretty Girls never really made waves on our radio songs chart. And that kind of doomed it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'll look it up in a second. But no, it didn't really.
Yeah, it's been a tough, and I wrote this somewhere that it's just been a tough 2015 for Iggy Azalea, and you know, neither of us it wishes ill will on Iggy Azalea, but it just seems like it's just been one problem after another over the past 6 months. And I honestly kind of hope that she writes the ship a little bit and delivers something that people actually like and isn't a headache over the second half of 2015.
Yeah.
So, Keith, we got to move on to the Hot 100. Wiz Khalifa, Charlie Puth, See You Again, still number one for the 11th week. Did you know, Keith, I think that only like three songs in the first 6 months of 2015 have been number one.
Three new songs.
Yeah, because Blank Space was number one over the 2014-2015. Then Uptown Funk Forever. Then Bad Blood for 1 week in the middle
really
of...
So really it's just two songs, really.
Yeah.
Because we don't count that crazy. One. It's pretty crazy. I'm kidding. It's been kind of a slow turnover at number one.
It has.
Blame
However,
the American public, Jason.
They love their Bruno Mars, they love their Mark Ronson, they love their Wiz Khalifa, and they especially love their Charlie Puth. So, however, Omi man, Cheerleader, it looks like it's getting closer to number one. Where is it at this week?
It's number three. It goes 4-3 on the Billboard Hot 100. It actually has a big gain. In fact, it could take over number one. I'm going to say if it really kind of picks up just a little bit, it could be number one even next week.
Doop, doop, right.
Doop, 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 doop.
Are we ready? Are we ready for the Omi takeover?
Not really, but okay.
Meanwhile, The Weeknd, Can't Feel My Face, goes in to the top 10. We've talked about it the past few weeks. But one thing we have not talked about, as you noted, Keith, Max Martin, who worked on the song, who produced this song, gets his 50th top 10 hit as a producer. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's unbelievable.
Yep.
And I feel like a lot of them have happened over the past year or two.
Yeah, a lot of his. I mean, he's really accelerated in the past year or two, especially with Taylor and with Katie and
Ariana.
Yeah. Ariana, yes.
Yeah,
he's had quite a... But, I mean, 50. And that's only really come since, like, the very late 90s, basically.
Yeah, one guy. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, he's worked with other people, too. It's not like he's the only producer on these tracks. But, yeah, and I think this is... I want to say this is, like, his 56th or 57th top 10 as a songwriter. It's... God, man, I would just love a little bit of Max Martin's money. Just a tiny bit.
That'd be pretty cool to have, right?
Just a fraction.
I mean, this is another top 10 hit for The Weeknd, who is in the top 10 with Earned It, parentheses, 50 Shades of Grey. And meanwhile, in the top 10, Silento is watching himself move into the top 10 as well. Goes from number 11 to number 7. Another dance craze. Keith, I think there might be a dance video with Silento coming to Billboard.com soon.
Really?
I can't say
for
sure.
Oh, that'll be a hoot. That'll be a hoot and a half.
People might watch me whip, and then they might watch me
nay-nay. Nay-nay?
I can't promise anything.
Is it a whip and then a nay-nay, or just a whip and a nay?
You know, that dance is really fun. I got to say, I mean, like the nay-nay and the whip, but there's so much more. There's the stanky leg. There's the Superman. There's so much going on, and yeah, that's coming soon to Billboard.com.
Man, we should get some sort of classic dance kings to drop by.
Hey.
Like, what if the next time, say, Chubby Checker is rolling through New York, we can have him come in and teach you how to do the twist? Because that actually,
I would love
that. You would actually be able to achieve that dance number.
We'll see about that. I think that we have some things in the works to have some classic dances featured on our web series, so you know you can't dance.
Oh my God, what if you had like Pat Benatar come in and like you could do like the Love is a Battlefield, like shoulder shake, you know, like get away from me, you dime a dance pimp guy, you know, like that would be awesome.
Yeah, there's going to be hopefully a lot of dance fighting with Pat Benatar.
Dance fighting, showdown.
Yeah.
Man, I'm thinking of all the wrong demo. I'm thinking of like old videos with Jason. Wrong. Okay, anyway, sorry.
So going back to the Hot 100, Keith, Janet Jackson, who we've talked about a bunch on this show, scores her 40th Hot 100 hit of her career with No Sleep.
No Sleep?
How are we supposed to say that, by the way?
No Sleep.
No Sleep. It's like sleep, children, sleep.
Yeah, I think you might be making a little bit too much out of it. Debuts at number 67 on the Billboard Hot 100. Yes, indeed, it is her 40th hit. And, you know, her chart history on the Hot 100 dates back to 1982, actually.
Man, and she has not had a hit in quite a while, right?
Yes, which I don't actually have that data in front of you, but I want to say it's 2008, maybe?
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I mean, it's also been a minute since she's released, you know, new music. So I'm happy to see Janet back. And did you see her on the BET Awards, by the way, last weekend?
I did not. No, I did not watch the BET Awards, unfortunately. But I heard some amazing stuff happened involving Janet. I heard that Lil' Kim popped up out of the ground on the BET Awards.
Yes.
I have to watch that.
Not part of the Janet Jackson tribute, mind you. Really, the two big things from the show, and I'll stop talking about it, was the big Bad Boy 20th anniversary.
Yes, I heard about that.
Salute, which is where Lil' Kim showed up. And Lil' Kim actually looked amazing. Because there's been a lot of talk about how Lil' Kim's image has changed a lot over the years.
Yes.
Through perhaps plastic surgery.
Perhaps.
But she looked pretty freaking amazing on the show, and it was a pretty dramatic reveal, so watch that. It's on BET.com, I think. And then yes, the Janet performance was actually not Janet performing. It was a tribute to the dances of Janet Jackson with Tinashe, Jason Derulo, and Ciara, which, you know, three excellent dancers, which all of it kind of basically reminded me of when MTV did their Icon tribute to Janet Jackson back in, like, I want to say, like, 2000-ish with Pink, Usher, and Maya. So...
yeah, that was amazing.
If you remember that, then you kind of get the vibe. But Janet looked amazing. She looked great. She only said a couple words, you know, thanked her family, thanked her fans, thanked God, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But happy to see Janet back on the charts. I'm a big Janet fan, and it's pretty awesome.
Very cool, man. Going back to the Hot 100 chart, Nicki Minaj and Meek Mill's collaboration, All Eyes on You, also debuts. Where does that debut, Keith?
It debuts down towards the bottom of the chart. It debuts in number 81.
81 for Nicki and Meek, who, of course, are dating. Keith, you tossed this question to me, and I've been thinking about this. You asked me who Nicki Minaj should collaborate with next. She has collaborated with so many artists.
Everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I kind of want to – is it strange for me? I feel like I want to go like A-list artist. I kind of want to go Taylor. I feel like a Nicki Taylor – I mean, she brought her out on tour during the Red Tour, I believe.
And when they did Super Bass together at one point.
Yeah, but they've never done like an official collaboration.
Don't think so,
They're friends, and you know, you hear what Taylor Swift has done with Kendrick Lamar on the Bad Blood remix. Let's get Nicki on, you know, another 1989 remix. Let's do that.
Yeah, why not? I think it'd be fun to see, and correct me if I'm wrong, has Nicki and Missy Elliott ever done anything together officially?
I don't think so.
Well, I believe it's so. Missy Elliott's birthday.
That would
today.
Be really cool. Yeah, that would be almost like a passing the torch kind of thing.
There's no torch passing. It is just two leading ladies of hip hop collaborating. No torch passing.
That's a little bit of torch passing.
No, I mean, let's not advertise it that way, because then no one would ever want to do it.
We're not advertising anything. We're advertising hypothetical situations.
What if we had like Bruce Springsteen and Nicki Minaj?
Oh, yeah, that's.
Everybody's got a hungry heart. Come on, Nikki.
Yow, 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 yow.
Yow, 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 yow. I can't do a Nikki. You know, like Bob Dylan with Nicki Minaj.
To those, you know, let's throw it out to our listeners.
How does it feel? Nikki.
To those, to those listening to this, who should Nicki Minaj collaborate with next? I mean, she's collaborating with her boyfriend now on a Hot 100 hit. Who should she link up with next? Keith, we're at the near the bottom of the Hot 100. Let's stay there. Here are some songs that are not hits yet, but they could become a hit soon. That's why we call this segment Soon to Be Hits. All right, man, we got two Soon to Be Hits today. What do we got?
I'll go first.
All you.
Okay. So this actually, I guess, technically is kind of a hit already because it debuts on the Billboard Hot 100 this week. It is Flo Rida. I Don't Like It, I Love It, featuring Robin Thicke and Verdeen White. It debuts at number 74 on the chart. It's actually a fun little party jam. If you're familiar with Flo Rida, then you probably can guess what this song might sound like. That said, Flo Rida does what he does well. And it's kind of a nice look for Robin Thicke, which on first blush, when you hear it, you wouldn't actually know that it was Robin Thicke. That's just me. The third person on this track, Verdeen White, may not be a name that's very familiar to some listeners, but if you're a fan of Earth, Wind, and Fire, then you will know who Verdeen is. Verdeen is, I believe, the bassist for Earth, Wind,
yeah.
and Fire. And
Verdeen has the amazing hair.
The amazing hair, yes. The flowing locks.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, I believe he plays bass on the Flo Rida track. I don't think he actually sings on it. But yeah, he has a credit on it, which is pretty cool. So there you go. There's my soon-to-be hit. It is Flo Rida's I Don't Like It, I Love It, featuring Robin Thicke and Verdeen White.
Very cool, man. My soon-to-be hit is Sage the Gemini, featuring Nick Jonas' Good Thing, which moves up 10 spots. It debuted last week at number 100 on the Hot 100. Moves up to number 90, and this is a song that came out about 6 weeks ago or so. It was actually released the day after Nick performed at the Billboard Music Awards in May. Came out and has been quietly, quietly gaining listeners since then. This is not featured on Nick Jonas's album or his next album. This is a Sage the Gemini song, and Sage the Gemini prepping his new project, I believe, for this fall. And Good Thing seems to be his biggest pop look yet. He had some hits with Gas Pedal and Red Nose, of course, on the Hot 100. Some crossover tracks there. This seems to be the most mainstream-friendly track yet. Moves up to number 90. I think this song is something that could really bubble over in August, September, if everything goes right. I think that this has some legs. So that is why Good Thing and I Don't Like It, I Love It are both soon-to-be hits. One song, going back to the Hot 100, one song we did not talk about in the top 10 as a new entry to the top 10. We had Silento. We have The Weeknd. We also have Good For You, Selena Gomez featuring ASAP Rocky, debuts at number 9 on the Hot 100. And Keith, I'm assuming this is mostly due to digital sales because of Splash debut last week.
Yeah. No, I mean, the more than half of its chart points this week are driven by its big digital week. The song actually was the top selling song of the week. It sold 179,000 downloads, which is actually Selena's best sales week ever for a song. And it's her first number one on the digital songs chart, so that's pretty sexy. And therefore, all those sales help her debut at number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Very cool, man. It'll be interesting to see if this song gets picked up by radio, if it hangs out in the top 10, if it goes to, into the top 5, maybe becoming her first number one single. We shall see.
I have a feeling it's probably going to slip back a little bit next week on the Hot 100, as these songs tend to do, but then it could gain. And look, it's like sort of a whole new like world, a whole new sort of pop landscape.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
Well, I mean, when the heart wants what it wants became a hit, and that was sonically like a completely different look for Selena.
Yeah,
I think she's sort of charting a new path for herself, and I think pop radio, I think, is really excited to embrace her. That could be just me.
Yeah, absolutely, and it'll be interesting to see what this song does as well on R&B and hip hop with A$AP Rocky as the featured artist. Although he's not in the music video, it's interesting that already kind of working two versions of this song, the featuring A$AP Rocky version and the solo version. So we'll see what happens, man. Also, speaking of former Disney stars, Demi Lovato is back with a new song. It does not debut this week. It just came out, actually. It's called Cool for the Summer. It precedes her fifth studio album, which she's still working on. And it's awesome, man. It came out, we're recording this on Wednesday, July 1st. Came out officially earlier today, although it leaked to the internet a day or two before. And I think it's great, and I can't wait for Demi's next project. What do you think of this song?
I thought it was cool. It didn't sound like Demi Lovato at all to me.
It didn't. Yeah, that's very true. I totally agree.
It sounded almost sort of like sinister EDM pop music. And she reminded me of someone else in the song, and I can't quite put my finger on it. She kind of sounded like Jessie J a little bit. I thought it was cool, though. And I'm kind of confused by the line where she talks about a cherry.
It's interesting because this is, if you read the lyrics, very, you know, bi-curious leaning. It sounds kind of like I kissed a girl and, you know, taste of her cherry chapstick calling back to that. It's interesting. I mean, she hasn't commented on it yet. I'm sure she'll get a lot of questions about that. But this is a very, you know, it's a different look for Demi. It's a very aggressive song. I think that, but at the same time, although it's very sonically very like cranked up to 11, I feel like it's great in the sense that she's more subtle with her vocal delivery. I totally agree that it doesn't really have that kind of wow factor in terms of the vocal power that we're used to with Demi Lovato, but I think that she kind of plays around with her voice a little bit in a way that's really effective.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Keith, what do you think... Cool for the Summer, good for you. We've heard both songs now from Demi and Selena. What do you think has the better chance of being a hit? Do you think the sensual song from Selena or the more up-tempo track?
I think they'll both
Demi?
Be hits. And how dare you pit two female pop stars against each other?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I walked right into that one.
Are you hearing this, Iggy?
Hey, man, I hope they're both hits. I like both songs. I would like them to both be top 40 staples for the months to come. So, Keith, before we go, before we wrap up, I want to talk a little bit about this week's Billboard 200 Albums Chart. Now, there are top five debuts from Tori Kelly at number two. Congrats to her. She was on the podcast earlier this year, anxious to put out her debut album, and now Unbreakable Smile is number two debut. Right below her, Pageant Material by Kacey Musgraves at number three, and Leon Bridges, I can't speak today, jeez Louise, Leon Bridges off to a really nice start, number six, I believe, with his debut album on
the Billboard 200, I got it for you, babe. It's all right. Yeah, Leon Bridges debuts at number six with his first album, Coming Home, an artist that most people probably are not super familiar with, but he's kind of come out of the blue, basically, in the past like 6 to 8 months. I guess there was a bidding war when he had a song that came out, Coming Home, last year. Labels scrambled to sign him and then got picked up by Columbia Records. And he has a pretty robust first week, has a top 10 album straight out of the gate.
Very cool, man. But, you know, we gotta circle back to that number one spot. We didn't talk about the number one album debut, which is from Breaking Benjamin. Their album Dark Before Dawn debuts at number one, selling over. You have the number in front of you, I'm sure.
It did 141,000 in overall units, of which 135,000 are album sales, which is the band's best sales week ever.
Okay, this really stood out to me because Breaking Benjamin is a very, you know, veteran rock group. Haven't put out that much stuff. Their last album, I believe, was in 2009. And yet, this is their best sales week ever? I mean...
Yeah, weird.
This is very surprising to think about, you know, this album sold roughly three times as much as Kacey Musgraves, who's gotten a ton of press for her sophomore album.
Breaking Benjamin sold more than Madonna sold in her first week with Rebel Heart.
Unbelievable. Like, how did this happen?
That is a very good question. So, all this is in my story online, but I think a lot of it has to do with they have a core fan base that turned up in the first week. I suspect there will be a significant drop for this album's second week. The band actually used to be a quartet. Now they are a five-piece. The band basically dissolved except for the lead singer in the past 6 years. So the only remaining member is the lead singer, who is named Benjamin. Hey. But they have like a big hit on rock radio. They have a big hit on rock airplay. So I think that's helping. They've had about a good sort of 3 months of pre-orders helping them sort of build up the interest. I just think a lot of it is they have a core fervent fan base that all turned up in the first week, and it should be interesting to see what happens next week with the album.
Very cool, man. Congrats to Breaking Benjamin. Very, very cool. And congrats again to Tori Kelly, Casey Musgraves, and Leon Bridges. Keith, are you ready, man?
Yeah, I am.
For your chart stat of the week.
So this week's chart stat of the week is probably one that I've talked about before, but it's such a big chart stat that it's hard not to come back to it every so often. This week in 1988, Michael Jackson hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with Diana, which was his fifth number one single from the Bad album. And as chart geeks will probably know, that makes him the first artist to have achieved five number one singles from an album. And that achievement was only matched by Katy Perry with her Teenage Dream album a couple years back. So the number ones from the Bad album that Michael Jackson had were Dirty Diana, Man in the Mirror, The Way You Make Me Feel, Bad, and I Just Can't Stop Loving You. There you go. There's your chart stat of the week. This week in 1988, Michael Jackson had a historic fifth number one from the Bad album.
Unbelievable album. Unbelievable chart run. Thank you, Keith, for your chart stat of the week. All right, man, that is going to do it for us here at the Pop Shop Podcast. Keith, it is July right now, and do you know what's coming up in July?
The 4th of July, Independence Day. Bastille Day? Bastille Day as well.
You know what else is coming up?
No.
I think you do. It is our 100th episode of the Pop Shop Podcast in a couple weeks. And we couldn't be more excited. We can't reveal anything yet, but we are going to have a jam-packed show. Keep an eye out for that. It's not next week. I believe it's in 3 weeks. And we couldn't be more excited. So I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped. I know you are, too.
I hear you're excited. Oh, boy. Sorry.
Thanks to all listening. Keith, do you have any parting words?
No.
All right, let's go out on Demi Lovato's last top 10 hit. This is Heart Attack. Thanks for listening, and take care.